How would Jesus go about getting your attention this morning? How would Jesus, I'll say it again because it's a very strange question, how would Jesus, and he is here in this church, if he wanted to get your attention personally, he wouldn't tap you on the shoulder, he wouldn't pop up in visible form, he wouldn't holler your name out loud. How would Jesus get your attention? And we know he has to do this, or there will be no communication whatsoever between me and my Lord. How does Jesus get the attention of a lost man? And so there's where you begin to get into a very difficult area to understand, because we have an invisible person who does not speak audible words trying to get your attention. How does he do this? You say, well, a bush moves out there. Ah, that's Jesus waving at me. Now, I'm not saying that's the way it works. No, don't. That's not what I'm saying. Maybe, but I don't think I'd take a bush waving in the wind as Jesus trying to get my attention. You say, well, he can let trouble come your way and that'll get your attention. Well, maybe. It might get your complaint. It might not even get any response at all from you towards him if you get in trouble. Usually they say, well, you get in trouble and you call to him. You're trying to get his attention, but that might work. You say, well, that God puts you flat on your back and you'll look up. Well, that's true, but you might not necessarily look up to him. You might look up to the doctor or to the pills. But I'm not sure that the Lord always gets a person's attention when there's a tragedy or a near wreck or you go to a funeral. I mean, a lost man can go to a funeral and you say, well, the Lord will get his attention here. Not necessarily. I mean, he goes to the funeral, never thinks about dying, leaves the funeral. He's not ever going to die. You didn't phase him one way or the other. That can happen. Does Jesus have to resort to such drastic measures to get our attention, even if those things do usually work? It'd be easier for me to answer my question if we had Jesus today living in our midst as he did many years ago. How would he get your attention? Well, in his day, he got it by working miracles, raising the dead, walking on water, healing diseases. I mean, that gets your attention. Well, wherever he went, he was the most exciting thing going on. So he got people's attention by what he did. And then when he got their attention, he would say things to them. And oftentimes, that's when he would lose their attention. But usually, they followed him and were attracted to him because he was working all kinds of miracles nobody else could work. But generally, I think about the only thing he ever got was people's attention. And he wanted not just attention. If this morning I tapped you on the shoulder and you turned around and looked at me, and I just looked at you, you'd say, well, what do you want? If I called you on the phone and said, hello, Miss Jones, in silence, she'd finally say, well, what do you want, preacher? I mean, you know, if I get your attention, hey, you look around, you know, what do you want? Well, when Jesus got the people's attention, is that all he wanted? No. He wanted their affection. And there's a big difference between getting somebody's attention and getting their affection. Boy, he sees a girl. Ooh, she's pretty. Hi there. He got her attention. But he doesn't have her affection yet, and he may never get her affection. Have you ever passed by a display window of some department store and they have one of those people standing there that's playing like they're a motorized mannequin, and then they go jerking around, you know, and they get attention. People are standing around, they look, and they point, but that's all they get. They don't get any money from anybody looking. Nobody talks to them. They just kind of laugh and walk on down the aisle. You see, Jesus just doesn't want to get your attention. He wants to get your attention because he wants to get your affection. And again, I repeat, one does not guarantee the other. Jesus rarely got affection from those that got attention. He even hardly got affection from those that he healed. Those that cast out devils, those that worked miracles, had miracles worked upon them, didn't even thank him, didn't even care, and may have been some of those that said, crucify him, at the end of his ministry. A lot of folks that come down the aisle to get help when they're in need never come down the aisle again in their life. Getting attention doesn't necessarily get affection. It sure didn't for Jesus. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Now, you know, it doesn't take much genius to figure out how does the sun get attention? Look out the window. Go outside. Well, it's hot today. You know? Don't look at the sun, you'll go blind. You know? Boy, the sun's bright as it comes in my car window. Where are my sunglasses? It doesn't take much for the sunlight to get your attention. I mean, it really gets your attention quick. Sun is up, sun going down. I mean, we keep track of sunlight. And yet Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And here's the light that nobody sees. And yet he claims he's a light brighter than the sun itself. And we puzzle ourselves, I'm the light of the world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness. That doesn't make sense. You mean you follow the sunlight, you don't walk in darkness. He shall have a light of life. The Pharisees said unto him, you're lying. I'm paraphrasing this for you. You have a Bible, you'll look it up. You're lying. You don't need light. We don't see any halo. We don't see any brilliance coming out of your life. You're not a light. Man, what's wrong with you? You touched in the head. Thou bowest record of thyself. You claim something you can't prove. Your record's not true. You're not any light. Then Jesus said, though I bear record of myself, my record is true. I am the light of the world. For I know whence I came and where I go. But you don't know where that I go. You don't know what you're talking about. And so there was really a big debate going on. He got their attention, but he sure didn't get their affection. He said, you're a fraud. You're not any light. Verse 39. They said unto him again, these are the Pharisees, Abraham's our father. Jesus said, if Abraham were your father and you were his children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. Now they were attracted to Christ. He got their attention by his miracles, but he said, you seek to kill me. Why? I told you the truth, which I heard from God, and this did not Abraham. Abraham didn't tell you all the truth that I told you. Then he goes on down here and he says, you're a child of the devil, you Pharisees. They really got upset about that. Then verse 59, they got so upset, they took up stones to cast at him. He got their attention. He also got their wrath. He didn't get their affection. How many people get... The Lord gets their attention somehow, but they never give him their affection. Maybe you do get down to your bed in your bed and you get sick, and maybe you do get a near accident in a car. Maybe you do go to a funeral all of a sudden. The Lord gets your attention, but does it ever get your affection? Well, he didn't get the Pharisees' affection. John 12, chapter 19. Verse 19. The Pharisees said among themselves, behold, it's the complaint now, behold, the whole world is chasing after this guy. He's getting the attention of everybody. Verse 36, Jesus says, while you have the light, here he goes again now, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. These things spake Jesus, and then he went and hid himself from the Pharisees. Hid himself. from the Pharisees. Can you imagine God hiding from you? That'd be a good sermon. Hiding from you. Now, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Then he goes on and quotes an Old Testament text from Isaiah. It's kind of a startling text. Isaiah made the prophecy the day would come when the Lord would speak and the people would not believe his report. And the Lord would reveal his arm and they would not believe what they saw. And then verse 39 says they could not believe. Because as Isaiah said, God hath blinded their eyes and God has hardened their heart. So they could not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I would heal them. That's a startling statement. They disbelieved Jesus so long, so much, and rejected all of his efforts to convince them he was the truth, that finally God said, all right, if that's the way you want to be, I see it. And your heart will stay hardened, and you will not believe in Christ. One more text, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, which gives us our object. Still an object in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. 3, chapter 14. I keep saying chapter. I don't know what you're doing there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul's talking about the minds of the Jews, not just the Pharisees, but many of the Jews who were unbelievers, did not believe in Christ as being the Messiah. Their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Even to this day when Moses read, the veil is upon their heart. Paraphrased, it simply means they could not see that Jesus was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. And everything that was said in the Old Testament about Jesus, referring to him, they said wasn't true. And there was a veil God placed over the hearts and minds of Jews. And even to this day, Judaism will not believe in Jesus as by far the majority of people. Why? There is a veil over their face and they cannot see the light of God. They hardened their hearts, and a veil of hardness was placed over their heart. He says, my followers are children of light. We said, you are the light of the world. We are. And we don't shine very brightly, do we? But he also said, the children that do not believe in him are children of darkness. Raises a little bit more difficult question. How does Jesus get the attention of a man in darkness? Now, if I can't speak out loud and we're in a dark room, how am I going to get your attention? Tap me on the shoulder. I can't find you. Call me up. I can't find the telephone. We're in darkness. Now, we call a person blind who has light but not sight. What would you call a person who has sight but not light? I call them blind. How about you? What's the difference? I have a dark room in my garage. And as the name implies, it's where you develop film which cannot be exposed to light. And at nighttime, the garage is dark, pretty dark by itself, but there's still a little light from the outside that seeps in from the light that's outside the garage around the doors. But there's a little room in my garage, and I have hanging over that room a 2-ply corduroy piece of cloth that's dark black. I take that cloth and I drop it. And it goes beyond the edge of that door. And I'm in that little old bitty room at nighttime in that dark garage. Now, folks, that's darkness. You can stand there for 15 hours with your hand in front of your face and you'll never see it. You won't see anything ever in that little room. It's that dark. I'm blind. I have sight, but I'm blind. I know where everything is. I know where to move and where to turn because I recognized it, memorized it before I turned the light off. You say, well, how do you see? I got some little red lights in there turned on, and they don't expose the film. But let's pretend we don't have any red lights, and I've never been in that room. And let's pretend this morning that this room became instantly pitch black, dark. Now you've got to get out of here. So I know where the door is approximately. Yeah, but you're going to fall over a whole bunch of other folks who know the same thing. You know where the windows are approximately. But I mean when you're in total absolute blackness, you're blind. You can't see anything. And you're just like a person who has no eyesight. They're in the same fix now that you're in. Now there is a veil that is dropped over the eyes of the heart of man. And man is in a state of absolute pitch blackness in his heart. He is blind. He has sight. But because of the veil, he cannot see Jesus. He cannot see God. He cannot see eternity. He cannot see sin. He cannot see righteousness. He cannot see anything that God talks about because there is a veil dropped over his eyes. He has sight, but he's in darkness, and so therefore he is blind. Now that's the picture you have of the veil as described in Scripture. Now, Jesus, on the other side of the veil, the light side, and by the way, folks, the veil is so strong, the light of Christ the Son cannot penetrate the veil. Huh? You can take a searchlight and put it on that cloth in the garage, and it won't penetrate the veil. Christ the light. And the Pharisee says, you're no light. That was said by a person who was in a pitch dark room with a veil over his heart and could not see because his eyes were veiled and the light was shining. The sunlight, you could tell a blind man, look straight up, boy, at the noontime sun. What do you see? He said, I don't see anything. Even the noontime sun is not bright enough to penetrate the darkness of a blind man. The brightness of Christ, which is brighter than the sun, cannot penetrate the black veil that's over the heart of an unsaved man, and even the veil of the flesh that gets over the Christian man. Now, how Jesus can get the attention of the guy that's living in pitch darkness? First of all, the guy's got to see some light. I can't see till I turn on the light. And for a blind man to see the sun, you're going to have a miracle. Two miracles, or just one miracle. Remove the veil, and the man that can see can now see. A double miracle for a blind man, you have to heal his blindness so he can see the light once the veil's removed. So whichever case it is, it's going to take a miracle for Jesus to get my attention. Otherwise, I'll never see him. He is right here in this room. How many of you see him? How many of you have already experienced and known Jesus is here? It's as though we are living in a dark sanctuary, pitch black. Where is Jesus? And the light of Christ is shining down upon us in all its splendor and glory and brightness. I don't see anything. I don't feel anything. I don't hear anything. How about it? Am I describing this morning? Maybe some of you. How does Jesus get our attention? It's a miracle. He has to lift the veil. And then the light floods in. And what do I see when the light floods in? I see Jesus. You say, "Preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. You're talking riddles to me. You mean you see a visible Jesus?" No. No. In the Bible, light is symbolic of truth. Symbolic of God's knowledge. I see something I never knew before. And I know what I see is coming from Christ. I identify the knowledge as with Christ. I can't see Him with my physical eyes. But if I could see my spiritual eyes, could see Jesus standing there and His lips would be moving and the words would be the same. I'm just hearing the words, but I'm not seeing the lips with my physical eyes. I can speak to you outside the church and you can hear me inside and you can't see me. You can't see my eyes, you can hear my voice. So you hear a voice, I hear thoughts, thoughts. And these thoughts I know are new thoughts and they're coming to me from somewhere they've never come before. And these thoughts are light coming into my mind. And all of a sudden I begin to think thoughts I've never thought. Thoughts about Jesus, thoughts about heaven, thoughts about hell, thoughts about God, thoughts about the way I ought to live, thoughts about guilt, thoughts about sin. I've never thought about these things before. All of a sudden the light comes on and I begin to think. That's how all of you got saved. One time a man came to me, talking to me. He was a man that was an author of a book. He had been in World War II, had been a gunner in a B-24 airplane that was shot down by the Germans. He was captured, but escaped capture and lived with the underground until the war was over. And that's the sum total of his book, basically, the theme of it. He was a man that is very wrapped up in the memories of World War II. He loved to talk about his experiences, and I would sit there and I'd listen. A man now up in years, he talked about Jesus, he talked about God, but only in swear words. Only in swear words. As the man talked and after he left, I begin to think, man, here you are in fairly good health. Been through World War II, in which many men lost their lives. You were shot down in an airplane. You survived. To a concentration camp, and you escaped. And successfully lived in the underground until the war was over. And came back home, and your wife is still alive. And you have a good money, good retirement, no problems. And from your language, I just wonder, has Jesus ever gotten your attention in your whole life? Has He ever gotten your attention? And all He wants to talk about is World War II. He does talk about Jesus. He talks about God. But again, swear words. Have you never had a visit from Jesus, mister? In all your years, in all those experiences, have you never had a visit from Jesus? Has He never passed by even once and drawn the veil back and let you get a glimpse of the light? Has He never done it even once? Has He never gotten your attention ever? I can't imagine that. 70 or 80 years old and God never getting your attention, not once. He had eyes to see. But the veil, he was living in darkness. Doesn't he know he has a soul? Doesn't he know there is a hell and a heaven? Doesn't he know anything about the Bible? Doesn't he know anything about salvation?
Doesn't he know anything?
No. Because the one of knowledge, the man of knowledge, the light, the Christ, has not lifted the veil and said, "Sir, you're lost. You're living in sin. I love you. I want to save you. There is a hell. There is a heaven. There is a new life." Has he never thought about such things? Has he never thought about such things? No. Not as the veil has not been lifted and the light floods in and God begins to place those kind of thoughts upon his mind. But just because Jesus gets his attention, he may not get his affection. And maybe that happened. I don't know. I just wonder if he ever got his attention. I know he didn't get his affection. You and I sing songs of praise. We look in the Bible and we read. And when we get through, did God get our attention? No. I mean, I read it, but it didn't do anything for me. It didn't thrill me. It didn't instruct me. It didn't correct me. It didn't do anything. It just didn't do anything. Sight, but no light. Might as well be blind. We hear sermons. Sight, no light. Might as well be blind. I come in and I go out the same. Nothing's changed. You go out in the sun and stay there long enough, something's going to change. Say what? I'm going to get sunburned. You're going to get sunburned. Won't take long either. See? But folks, there's a veil over the eyes of you and me as we come to Scripture. We ought to pray, Christ, take the Word and get my attention. Let a verse begin to speak your word into my heart and my mind. And I begin to see things I ought to see. And I begin to think things about you I ought to think. And I ought to begin to do things I ought to do. I mean, Lord, let this song, let this sermon, let this Bible, I mean, come alive. Would you please remove the veil? And so often I have gone to read the Bible and come away blind as a bat. I'm in a little bit different situation than most of you because come Sunday morning, I'll say, Lord, you got to get the veil up. I mean, I got to find something. I mean, Lord, something's got to jump out of this paper and speak to me. Say something. You get down to Saturday night about 8 o'clock. God, tomorrow morning I got to preach. Would you please lift the veil in this whole book and there's something that I can say. But you can't say what you don't know. And you can't say what he doesn't say to you unless you preach somebody else's sermon. And that's darkness because he had to feel it to preach it. And God has said to me, people, what I'm saying to you, he's already preached a sermon to me last night. He's preaching it now to me and I'm preaching it to you. Now, thank you, Lord. 11 o'clock came and finally something was revealed. Yep. The Lord got my attention. Boy, save me again. Then Monday, doesn't get my attention. I'll pick it up and I'll look at it. Nothing there on Monday, nothing on Tuesday, nothing on Wednesday. I'll get desperate now. Nothing on Thursday, nothing on Friday, nothing on Saturday. Lord, I've got to get some attention. Say something to me. Ask me why. What am I going to preach on? Man, that's your problem. No help there. How many sermons did you listen to? Total pitch blackness. Don't touch us. Don't move us. Don't do anything. And even sometimes if God does get our attention, he doesn't get our affection. And unless he gets our affection, the attention really doesn't accomplish a whole lot, does it? But I'm just saying this morning, God will get your attention in your thoughts if you'll just ask him, please remove the veil. And let me see those things from you, the truth from you, the knowledge that you have. Let it come into my mind. Let me have some spiritual thoughts. And you'll know. You'll know when the veil is lifted and you see the light. We sing songs, I've seen the light. Have you seen the light? Close with this. Claire Scott wrote a song in 1895. Open mine eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands a wonderful key. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes. Illumine me, Spirit divine. There's a great tragedy today, and that is that we have sight, but we live in darkness, and we don't care if the light of Christ ever shines through the veil or not. We don't care. Kind of like that man, World War II. He has sight, but he cannot see and does not care. This morning, care. Jesus will get your attention if you ask him to take away the veil and remove it. You'll see. You'll see. When the light comes in, you'll see. Father, we're thankful today for Scripture. For it is called the light unto our path, the lamp unto our feet. It is called that. But we know it also takes the removal of the veil for that light to really shine and for us to comprehend it and for us to obey it. Father, this morning when we listen, look, desire, and hope for the attention of Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn.